This is a Clearview original.
This episode of the Clearview Today Show is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine.
The Mighty Musca, who's it?
The Mighty Muscadine. It's a grape, and it's grown right here in North Carolina. In fact, the Muscadine grape is North Carolina's state grape.
I thought North Carolina's grape was the Scuppernong grape.
Shh. The Muscadine grape produces more damage-fighting antioxidants when it's under stress from the environment it grows in, leading to a whole host of health benefits.
Well, that's all well and good, but in my experience, anything healthy typically tastes like dog water.
And that's the magic of using real natural Muscadine grapes. Muscadine grapes have two extra chromosomes than regular table grapes have. Those extra chromosomes provide a much-needed genetic ability to help build your health. Unlike other fruits or berries, the Muscadine grape can resist mold, bacteria, and viruses without the use of harmful chemicals.
Yeah, but the problem is I'm very rarely in the mood for grape juice.
Well, good news. You can head over to MightyMuscadine.com and see that they have an entire lineup of products designed for everyday use. If you work out, they have protein powder. I know you wash your hair and brush your teeth, right?
Not very often.
That's gross. But if you're a normal person who does, they have shampoo, conditioner, toothpaste. They have a one-a-day dietary supplement. They have body lotion. I'm telling you, these guys have it all.
Sounds expensive.
Not at all. All of their products are extremely affordable.
Even for a skinflint like me?
I'll tell you what. I'm going to let you in on a little secret because I like you so much. I'm going to give you this promo code. It's T-O-D-A-Y. Promo code TODAY. You use that promo code at checkout and get yourself a sweet discount. And every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show. Don't miss this opportunity to supercharge your health and well-being with the incredible power of Mighty Muscadine. Visit their website now. That's MightyMuscadine.com. And use that promo code T-O-D-A-Y. You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhinav Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You can find us online by visiting clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028, or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right, and you guys can help us keep the conversation moving forward. You can support the show, you can share it online with your friends and your family. You can leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify and where you get your podcasting content from, or leave a couple of links in the description so you can do just that.
The verse of the day today is coming from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the familiar verse to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And then in 23, it continues on gentleness and self-control.
Oh, the fruit of the Spirit's not a
kiwi.
The fruit of the Spirit's not a, what's the other one? The banana?
Turbo banana.
Turbo banana!
Yeah. And then coconut.
And then
there's a lot of them. Yeah. There's a lot of what the fruit of the Spirit is not.
And then what's the best part, though? Because I can't do it.
The fruits are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
That's the fruits of the fruit of the Spirit. Mm. One fruit. I was trying to make a point, and then I said it wrong.
The song is not biblically accurate, because it does say the fruits are.
Yeah, right.
But it really is the fruit of the Spirit is
right.
All of these
things. It's a life submitted to the Holy Spirit. It's a life submitted to God. And so these things, these attributes are evidence of that fruit that is born in your life. And that's what Jesus said, that you will know them. You will know my people, my children, by their fruit.
And that's a great point. The fruit itself is multifaceted. Mm-hmm. So you can't say, well, I'm growing love, but I don't have peace.
That's
I'm
right.
growing long suffering, but I don't have joy. It is the fruit of the Spirit mm-hmm. that's comprehensive. 100%. And all of those things are elements of that one fruit of God working in your life.
That's right. And it's a great verse to live your life by and to remember. And there's a ton more like it on the Date the Word app. You can get that app for free right this second. On iPhone and Android, every single day connects today's date to God's word with the hope of making it more memorable for you. Ryan?
Yes.
Happy Wednesday, my friend.
Happy Wednesday.
So good to see you. We got a brand new segment. I think we've done it one other time, but then we had to take a break. But now it's back.
Okay.
And you think you know what I'm talking about.
I actually forgot.
Well, we've been playing around with Wednesday segments for a little bit, but this is one that I've really come to love. This is the segment where we sort of recount some moments in our life that we wish hadn't happened.
Yeah.
Moments that were a little embarrassing.
Tales of woe.
This is a tale of woe. And Ryan, I think you've got one. I think you know which one I'm talking about. Your first weekend of Awana. I think
the year
was 2014 in the year of our Lord.
15.
I think you know what I'm talking about. We always start Awana
with our pledges.
By doing the pledges.
We do. The pledge of the American flag, Christian flag, and the Bible.
Now, I'll tell you this. When I first started coming in 2013, I'd never heard of the pledge to the Christian flag.
Yeah.
Never heard of the pledge to the Bible. I'd heard the Pledge of Allegiance for the United States.
As most of us have.
Of these United States. So if I was going to mess up any of them, that would be the one that I didn't mess up.
Yeah.
But you.
You would think. But okay, so story time.
Yeah.
I was not the originator of the pledges in Awana. That was happening before I started here at Clearview. But
right.
Then after I'd been here for a little while, Dr. Shaw said, hey, I want you to take this on.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, cool, no problem. I have been accustomed to speaking in front of people for a number of years.
Sure, yeah.
I get a little jittery, get a little butterflies, but I don't really get stage fright.
Yeah.
It's never really happened to me in the number of shows that I've been in.
You're
or singing in front of
talker.
People. I don't really get stage fright.
That's why he does the segues.
This time in my life was one of the only times that I got stage fright because I got up there to begin the Pledge of Allegiance, and the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of these United States left my brain.
So
it vacated the premises,
there are
and
a bunch
it was
of
just
kids.
Like it was just like a white. Expanse.
What did you get stage fright from? It was a bunch of children.
I think it was twofold. Number one, it was not having said the Pledge of Allegiance daily for a while.
Okay.
Like you kind of grow up saying it, but right. then once you get to college, you don't really say the pledge much
right,
anymore.
Right.
And then after that, leading in Awana is a different cadence.
True.
So you say a line and then the kids repeat a line.
Yeah.
So it's not just I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. It's I pledge allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag. Of the United States of America,
Yeah, there's some back and
forth. And to the Republic, so it's a little different pacing.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere in there, I got lost. And the line that I stumbled on, oh boy, was One Nation.
The one under God.
Under
yeah,
God.
That's the one you don't want to leave out.
Yep.
I remember standing in the back, and he was like, One Nation. And the kids go, One Nation. And he goes,
Indivisible.
And everybody tripped, and they were like, and what was funny was they didn't say indivisible. The room said under God.
Under God.
So it was like the room corrected him.
Yeah. I was
I remember that.
Mortified.
In retrospect, it's not that huge of a deal. It really isn't.
It's
stuff
really
happened.
Not,
you just misspoke.
It was the first time I led pledges. I had been here for maybe a month.
Yeah. And so
first time I led pledges, and I mess up not only the Pledge of Allegiance, but I mess up under God.
And so the kids are just like, eh, whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, adults, they're looking around like, who is this guy? Like,
what is wrong with this guy?
Why would Dr. Shaw bring, is he serious? What kind of agenda is he bringing here?
So
I was like,
oh yeah.
Oh man. So I would remember being up to him earlier and like nobody had to say you're right. I was like, is that you okay? He's like, yeah, I'll be right. Like,
yeah, if you're going to mess up, don't mess up under God.
Especially not in a Christian church at Awana right before. And then crazily enough, you did great on the Bible and the,
and
the Christian flag. I'd never even heard of those when I started. Yeah.
Crazy.
Well, it's crazy.
That's my Disneyland. And unfortunately I did. And history has shown that I did in fact do that. If you've ever had an embarrassing moment like that, maybe where the Pledge of Allegiance was concerned, write in and let us know. 252-582-5028.
Unfortunately I did.
Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be right back.
Hey, what's going on, listeners? My name is John.
And I'm Ellie.
And we just want to take a second and let you know about Dr. Shaw's new book on the market right now called Can We Recover the Original Text of the New Testament? Boy, that is a long title.
True, but it's a very simple message. The original text of the New Testament is not only attainable, but there are lots of different ways that scholars go about discovering it.
There's a lot of people out there saying that the original text is lost forever, or that it's hopeless to actually try to find it, or that there's many texts of the New Testament. But alongside Dr. David Allen Black, Dr. Shaw has actually compiled papers from some of the world's leading experts in textual criticism, including one written by himself on various methodologies for extracting the original text. And listen, if you're interested in textual criticism, this book is a great introduction to the field.
You can pick up your copy on Amazon, or you can buy it from our church website. That's clearviewbc.org. We're going to leave a link in the description box so you can get your copy today.
Love that. Ellie, let's hop back in.
Let's do it.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhinav Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we are here in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abhinav Shah, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism. Dr. Shah, have you ever been saying the Pledge of Allegiance and you leave out the most critical... Well, let's say, forget all that. What do you think is the most critical part of the Pledge of Allegiance? The one part that, above all, you don't want to forget.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, that's right. or One Nation Under God.
Yeah. So you would
that's
say
it.
That
that's the one.
You would say
One Nation Under God.
Yep. You would say
indivisible with liberty and justice for all.
That's
right.
The one.
Those are
that's
the words.
The one. Have you ever been giving the Pledge of Allegiance and you for some reason just thought I'm gonna leave out under God,
ooh,
even though I'm in a church?
Ooh, you may get stoned in America.
Yeah, you don't do that way.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did somebody do it?
True story. We talked about this in the intro. The very first time that I led pledges for Awana, the very first time, I forgot apparently how to say the Pledge of Allegiance altogether.
I
was stumbling. I was tripping over words. And then I got to the end and I left out under God.
So I don't know.
I did.
It's okay, man. You haven't. The funniest thing for me, and I think I said this in the intro, is do you know who it was that like got him back on track? It was Miss Sheila.
Oh, yeah.
She was like, he was like, One Nation. And we were like, One Nation. He was like, indivisible. And Sheila was like, under God. And he was like, under God.
Under God. I was so.
And I even gave you a cheat sheet.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yep. It was so.
I have a bookmark in my office, which is nothing but the pledge to the Bible, to the American flag.
Yep.
And to the Christian flag.
So
And I thought, you know, okay, Pledge of Allegiance. I got this. And no problem. I've said this for years. But turns out, number one, I hadn't said it in years.
Yeah.
Because after like the high school mark, you stop saying it every day.
Right. Yeah.
And then it's a different cadence when you're like leading people and saying
because you have to stop.
Right.
And they have to come back. Yeah. I know exactly what
I
you
remember
mean.
When before you started coming in like 2013, 2014, when I was here, I didn't know that there was a pledge to the Christian flag and I didn't know there was a pledge to the Bible. So I was standing there doing it on a Wednesday night as well. He was like, now we're going to turn and pledge to the Christian flag. And I was like, oh,
huh?
What do you say? What do you say to the Christian flag?
What?
I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, coming again with life and liberty.
To all who believe.
To all who believe.
Yep. So my son can say it better than me because he says it. He says it every week.
Does he know how to say it?
Yeah. Yeah. One of the proudest moments of his life, I'm going to tell you guys this, was when he got chosen to hold the Bible to pledge.
Aww.
To pledge. He thought that was the coolest thing. And I mean, I'm not joking. He talked about it for days.
Oh,
days. He went,
awesome.
He came home and was like, asked if I had a Bible. He was younger at the time. I think he was still like two and a half,
sweet.
But he would just kind of stand and hold. And we have this like tall mirror on the back of the bedroom door. He was standing hold because he wanted to know what he looked like holding it in front of all his friends. So he was standing and holding it. I was like, buddy, did you like holding the Bible? He was like, I did.
Sweet.
So
I love that.
Was one of the proudest moments of his young life.
And you pray that they will have the same excitement.
Yes. When they're like teenagers.
Yes. And they do. And a lot of kids we know, they do have that excitement.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And it's what you cultivate is what you get.
That's right.
That's exactly right. And that leads into what we're talking about today in this intergenerational model that we're working toward. Dr. Shaw, today is Dr. Shaw's Book Club.
Yes.
Welcome to another installment of Dr. Shaw's Book Club. Amazon carts open, ready to order.
I really want to get Reese on the show and see if she would subscribe to Dr. Shaw's Book Club.
I think she would.
I think we really need to
Reese
do this.
Reese Witherspoon's
Book Club. But I think we need to get Dr. Shaw's Book Club to be an actual monthly thing where we like push this book.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, like have people pay. They'll pay Reese Witherspoon to give her opinion on cheap thrillers.
Right.
People ought to be paying the Cleveland Today Show for getting like good Christian literature into their hands.
Absolutely.
And
I just don't know how to make that
happen. But it's also literature that is helpful. So some of the books that we recommend or I recommend may not be Christian, but they are very helpful.
True.
You know, so but today the book I want to talk about is a book by Tim Elmore titled A New Kind of Diversity: Making the Different Generations on Your Team a Competitive Advantage.
Mm.
Now, I've known Tim Elmore's works for a long time. In fact, one of the first books that I read was on Generation IY.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is what you would, I guess, refer to millennials.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we read that book. So I'd already read a book on the millennials by Tom Rainer, and he also wrote a book on the millennials, but I read Tim Elmore's book, and it was really very applicable, and it was a little further out because by the time I was reading that book on millennials, I wanted to know about the millennials who are youth today or more in the youth group rather than millennials who were now in their
20s.
Right.
Like you guys would have been.
Right.
You know, so yes, I want to reach you guys, but I want to make sure, is our church a church that is friendly towards youth.
Right, because there's still subdivisions within the millennial camp.
Yeah.
And so those, I remember you preached a sermon. Oh my goodness, what was it, like a letter to the IY graduates or something like that?
Yes, and I used Tim Elmore's book in that one.
Those IYs would have been the later millennials, the ones right before Gen Z. So the younger than us.
Yes.
But still not quite Gen Z.
What year were you born?
88.
Doggone. Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. There's... Sorry.
Here's the message. Thank you, David. It's called A Message to Our IY Graduates by Pastor Shaw. Mm-hmm. And this book that I referred to in that message was Generation IY, Secrets to Connecting with Today's Teens and Young Adults in the Digital Age. Mm-hmm. So it is millennials when he says IY, but they're more on the younger spectrum.
Right.
You know, part of the spectrum.
Do you think they still have some of those Gen Z qualities, like where some of the overlap is? Do you think they're more towards millennials?
No, I think they do have that. They're straddling the millennials and the Gen Zs. Mm-hmm. So they are there.
Got you.
So so that's where I got introduced to Tim Elmore. And then when I heard about this book, I was like, I have to get this book. And he has written on Gen Z as well. Mm-hmm. So that book is out as well. But this book right here is a great book for several groups of people. Number one, it's good for pastors. You need to read this book. This book came out, I believe, in 2020, if I'm not wrong.
Oh, wow. So it's pretty new. It's up to date.
Well, in the world of demographics, it may not be very new. It's 2022. So, yes, it is new.
Gotcha.
The one that he wrote on Gen Z came out in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's that dated yet.
Right.
Well, I didn't realize it was published through Maxwell Leadership.
Yes. He works closely with John
Maxwell. With John Maxwell. Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
So, and John Maxwell recommends him all the time. So that's also one reason why I'm aware of Tim Elmore.
Yeah.
So pastors need to read it. Youth pastors need to read it. I know Ryan has gone through it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, business owners need to read it because this is your workforce.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Last year, 2023 spring, our chamber, of which I'm on the board, I think I'm the second vice president or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I told him, I said, I don't have to have a position. I support business. Mm-hmm. I support people working hard, working honestly to make money. So I'm going to support that. He's like, oh, we want you on our board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm like, I'll do it if you want me to. So anyways, we were in an executive board meeting for our Henderson Vance chamber. And I made a statement about our Gen Zs.
Mm-hmm.
I said something like, you know, Gen Zs are under so much pressure. They're constantly told that the world is full of problems and it's up to them to solve those problems.
Mm-hmm.
So many problems. And if they don't solve the problems, then they are part of the problem.
Right.
Right.
Imagine living with that guilt. So business owners need to read this book.
Mm-hmm.
Educators need to read this book. College, high school, middle school, elementary, doesn't matter. You need to be reading this book because there's so much wealth of information here.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think it strikes something that people are hungry to know more about. You know, people reduce generational differences to these oversimplifications, like all Gen X are like this, or all millennials are like this, or all Gen Z are like this. But the issue is much more complicated than that. And if you paint with those broad strokes, you're going to miss out on some of the nuances of each generation. And like you talked about in this book, the strengths that they bring to your organization or your church or your youth group or whatever organization it is that you're a part of.
You know, the book is called A New Kind of Diversity, and I feel like that's a word that starts out with good intentions, but now it means something that it didn't used to mean. And so I feel like if Tim Elmore is talking about this, what is this new kind of diversity that he's pushing?
For the benefit of our listeners and our viewers, there are six generations we're talking about altogether. There's the greatest generation, which is those born from 1901 to about 1928 born. This is the generation also known as the GI generation. They endured through the Great Depression, through World War II.
Mm-hmm.
They took life as it came and made the best of it. Of course, as you can imagine, this generation has been dwindling, and before long, they'll be gone.
Right.
Right?
Right.
1901 to 1928. So if somebody who's born in 1928, today they are...
Oh, goodness. They'll be... Let's see. I can tell you right
96.
Now.
96.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
96.
Yeah. If 28 is 4 years past 24, yeah, maybe 96.
So there are. I know some 96-year-olds. I mean, I know some 100-year-olds.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
We have a member in our church who is 100.
Yeah.
And then I know some others as well who are very close to that point. But that is that generation. Mm-hmm. Following is the silent generation, which comes from 1929 to about 1945. And this generation, also known as the Builders, mm-hmm, and they fought in the Korean War, they fought in the Vietnam Wars, and unlike the previous greatest generation, they never had their roaring 20s,
mm-hmm,
okay? So life was grim for them through and through.
Mm.
Just always kind of a bleak.
Right. They're the silent existence. Generation.
Yeah.
So you have the greatest, and then you have the silent.
So people ask that sometimes, like, why are they termed the silent generation? It's just kind of like, put your head down, get through it.
Yeah. It's like, because what is there to really talk about?
Yeah, right. It's just wars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then following that, now we have the boomers, which mm-hmm is 1946 to 1964. This would be sort of the generation my mom came from, but my mom was born in 1943.
Right.
So she may sort of go in the silent generation as well.
But like all these soldiers coming home from war, all the people who were in the silent generation now are having kids.
Right.
And they're the boomers.
Right. They're the boomers. This generation born in the prosperous post-World War II
mm-hmm
era. And they saw the cultural pendulum swing to the opposite extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And so with the coming of rock and roll, music, television, civil rights, all these things, there were many positives that came out of this time period, don't get me wrong, but also a lot of negatives, and they took a toll on traditional values, especially marriage.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of divorces came during this time period, and so a lot we can trace back a lot of problems today to that period.
I was talking to someone who is a great, great friend of ours, a member of our church, who's on the older side. And we were talking about that, and we were like, man, it's so crazy where America is today. And he was like, brother, we've been here before.
Yeah.
He said, when I was growing up, this is all very familiar.
Yeah.
So that, I guess that's what he was referring to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these are the boomers. And while previous generation were willing to endure through it, the boomers brought the need to seek help.
Mm-hmm.
And so get help.
Mm-hmm.
You have a problem, go get help. So this is a generation that cried out for authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is your boomers. Following the boomers is
Gen X.
Gen X. This is my generation.
Yeah.
Talking about my generation, which is 1965 to 1982. I was born in 1973. So mm-hmm I'm like slap in the,
right
middle,
in the middle
of that generation.
Yeah.
This generation is born in the Cold War era. Cold War era is, you're talking about the USSR mm-hmm versus USA. And so it was that Cold War where no shot was fired, and yet it was any moment, anything,
the whole world
set
could blow up,
a nuclear bomb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the era you're coming from. And this generation is variously known as the MTV generation, or the latchkey kids, where parents had to work, stay home.
That's a great band name, the latchkey kids. Is that like a, that's like a pop? If I steal that, will people know what I'm talking about?
Some may.
Okay, I like that. I'm gonna write that.
So it is the smallest generation,
mm-hmm,
because it was, you know, this generation came out in a promiscuous and provocative culture, and mostly without adult supervision. And as this generation lived through the aftermath of divorce, they became skeptical regarding marriage.
Mm.
Because they saw what their parents went through and being shuffled from one parent to the other. So it's kind of very difficult,
yeah,
time period. And they also waited until later in life to have children.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's like, I want to build my career.
Mm-hmm.
I don't trust society. I don't trust economy. I don't trust the man.
Right.
And so Xers are like that.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of like,
very skeptical.
Yeah, yeah, skeptical. And unlike their parents, they did not want a have it all lifestyle. It was more like, hey, I want my marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not going to sell out on my marriage to have that boat or that mm-hmm house, because it's not worth it.
You think that's because they grew up in the aftermath of kind mm-hmm of the increase of divorce?
Yeah, because they saw dad or mom having it all, and yet they did not have it all.
Yeah.
They lost it all.
Wow.
So this is Gen X.
Right.
following is the millennials, and millennials are coming in the 1983 to about 2000, as this generation was born with a computer, and they came of age right at the turn of the millennium. And you guys are millennials.
Yeah. I was born in 92. You
Born in 88.
Wow.
All right. Settle down. Let's feel a little personal.
88 and what?
92.
Yeah, well, you're all right there.
Yeah.
But I mean, I remember like
I remember the 99 year 2000.
Into 2000. Yeah. I remember Y2K. I remember everybody like, and everything's going to shut down at midnight. We don't know what's going to happen. I remember all
I was only
that.
8 when that happened, but I do remember my mom being like scared. I remember nobody around me being excited about the year 2000, but I was too young to remember why.
Yeah. But this generation is known as Generation Me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you are special.
Yeah.
There was when I was a kid,
give
there
us
was
the
a
participation trophies.
I'm not even going to deny it, because when I was a kid, there was a Barney song that literally is, "You are special, special. Everyone is special. Everyone in his or her own way." That was my favorite song, and I sang it all the time.
For
that's
real?
What they told. Yes.
That's the millennials.
Yep. That's it.
And so Hayden Shaw, who's another scholar, another expert when it comes to these different generations, in his book called Sticking Points, a great book, by the way, if you ever want to get another book on this subject, he attributes this to life stage rather than just laziness. So as they entered adulthood, they seem to be taking longer than other generations to figure things out.
True.
So millennials take longer, but this is just a life stage thing, so nothing to worry about. And millennials just want to take their time to get things right. Mm-hmm. And so there is a positive to that, in that the divorce rate is lower. And the IYs are sort of right towards the latter part. So I don't think you guys would qualify as IYs.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they're still part of the millennial category. Mm-hmm. And then come the Gen Z. Gen Zs are those born 2001 to 2015. Do we have Gen Zs in this room?
Oh,
we do.
Yeah, we do. We got two right there.
Okay.
By the
Nick is there. What year were you born, David?
I was born in 98, so I feel like I'm like in the middle. I'm probably
like
a little
right on the border.
Right on the border.
Yeah,
like Nicholas born. Do you?
Nicholas was born in 2003.
Oh, so that's Gen Z.
Yeah.
Not prime, but he's Gen Z.
He's Gen Z.
Yeah.
And this generation has faced more crises than any generation, as you've heard us talk about that. 9/11, ISIS, mass shootings, pandemic, riots, recession, you name it.
They've been through it. They've seen it.
Wow.
Unlike millennials, because you guys did not grow up with smartphones, but you had them.
They came to college.
iPhone came out the year I graduated high school.
There you go.
Yeah, and I didn't get one until college, for sure.
And I would say probably were right on the fence of growing up with iPhones or smartphones.
Yep.
Gen Zs do not know a time
before iPhone.
Yeah.
Good
now,
point.
Nicholas should, because he's an older Gen Z in a sense, because he's born in 2003. We did not have smartphones.
Yeah.
I didn't have a smartphone until I was maybe 2008.
Wow.
Maybe 7, 8.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
My two oldest.
Or 9, maybe.
Yeah. My two oldest, my twins, are 11. They were born in 2012. So they're like right in the latter years of Gen Z.
Yeah.
And since we've had them, we've had smartphones.
Yeah.
They've grown up around them. Now, they don't have their own. They didn't grow up with one in front of their faces all the time.
But they're aware of it.
They're
very
aware
well,
of it, for sure. It's always been a part of their life.
Is this the new kind of diversity that Elmore is pushing, to have intergenerational staff on your teams?
When you have these people working for you, you have to meet them where they are. So again, a word about the Gen Z very quickly is that they are facing some of the worst crises, as I mentioned to you, but also the worst moral and spiritual challenges. Think about all the gender dysphoria that's happening in a culture.
Yeah.
It was happening back then. It was happening back in the 30s. And I'm talking about 1930s happening. It was happening back in the 1870s. Nothing new under the sun.
Right.
But not to the level it's happening today.
And certainly not as public.
Not as public, and not in your face, in your hand, in your computer, in your phone. It was not like that.
Yeah.
So yes, it was there, but it was like somewhere out in Hollywood, somewhere in, you know, the crazy
in
part.
In its own contained area. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So, and this is the generation that has a lot of struggle. Following this generation comes Generation Alpha. Those born 2016 to 2030. So some are still being born. Yeah. Gen Alpha. And I believe all your kids?
Definitely my kids.
Mine are right on the border. Some of mine in this breakdown fall in the Gen Z.
Okay.
But they're right on that cutoff. I have 2012 to 2018 where my kids were born.
Yeah, I've got 2020 to 2023. So definitely mine
are. You are all Alpha. Yours is a little bit of.
Right in the border between Gen Z and Gen Alpha.
So yeah. Yep. Yep.
So these are our kids.
And this book will help you. And maybe we can talk about these issues again.
Let's do it.
Another time. But this book will help you know how to meet each person where they are.
Right.
Instead of treating everybody with the same strategy, whether it's on your ministry team or people in your church or in your business, in your family, all these areas, this will help you go, okay, wait, who are they? That's not working.
Yeah.
Right.
Because you're not speaking their language.
That's true.
Right. Develop a strategy for an intergenerational approach. I love that. A New Kind of Diversity by Tim Elmore. Make sure you pick up a copy if you work with kids or if you're on the workforce. Great resource for you. If you enjoyed today's episode, write in and let us know, 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Every gift that you give goes not only to building up this radio show, but countless other ministries for the sake of the gospel. Make sure you guys join us tomorrow. Lots of great content coming your way. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.